RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So yesterday we found out the terms of reference for the Phase 2 COVID inquiry. They were released yesterday. Quick summary here. The New Zealand government has finalised the detailed terms of reference for Phase 2 of the Royal Commission of Inquiry into COVID-19 lessons, as confirmed by Internal Affairs Minister Brooke Van Velden. Phase 2 will review key government decisions made in 21-22, particularly regarding the use of vaccines and the implementation of lockdowns, especially the extended lockdowns in Auckland and Northland. The inquiry will assess whether the decision struck a reasonable balance between public health objectives and the resulting social and economic disruptions, including impacts on health, education, inflation, debt, and business activity. Public hearings may be conducted where appropriate to further explore these decisions. Grant Illingworth, KC, has been appointed as chair of Phase 2, supported by Commissioners Judy Kavanagh and Anthony Hill, who bring expertise in economics and public health, respectively. The commissioners from Phase 1, Professor Tony Blakely and John Whitehead, will resign following the completion of their roles on the 28th of November this year. The government has allocated just over $14 million for Phase 2, with the terms of reference shaped by over 13,000 public submissions received during consultations earlier this year. And the findings and recommendations of Phase 2 are expected to be made public in early 26, addressing outstanding public concerns and contributing to future pandemic preparedness. We've invited the minister responsible, Brooke Van Velden, Minister for Internal Affairs and ACT Deputy Leader, onto RCR to speak about this. Brooke, thank you for coming on. We appreciate the time.
You're very welcome. It's great to be here.
Okay, first question. Do you personally believe that this is a very necessary inquiry to have?
I do. You know, the purpose of this inquiry is to make sure that if we have a pandemic happen in the future, that any government is far more prepared and will make better decisions than what the Labor government made in terms of responding to that pandemic. You know, we know that COVID affected every life up and down New Zealand, and there were many people who felt very divided against, pitted against. We also know that there was huge harm in terms of, you know, education for children, the loss of being able to have things like breast cancer screening happening at the same time, people unable to turn up to work because, you know, they didn't have the vaccine for whatever reason. There were a lot of effects on people's individual lives. And what the commissioners should be looking at is how do we ensure that if something happens in the future, we can have a better response. So I think it is well positioned to do that. I also think it's necessary for us to do it.
In Phase 1, we saw some very clear conflicts of interest with Chair Professor Blakely advising Dr. Bloomfield on matters. Do you feel that any conflicts of interest or inherent bias in the Phase 2 commissioners have been clearly reviewed and considered? Example, Anthony Hill served as the Health and Disability Commissioner, finishing up at the end of 2020, the first year of COVID, and was the Ministry of Health's chief legal counsel. The last appointment could suggest the potential for apprehended, if not actual, bias, where a former lawyer for the Ministry of Health will be asked to consider key decisions made by that department.
Look, I'm very confident in the skill sets of the people that we've been put forward, and the Department of Internal Affairs have done due diligence checks on all three of the commissioners, and I have no concern raised with me. I have great faith in these commissioners. I think it's important for us to have on our panel of commissioners people with legal expertise, people with health expertise, because don't forget it was a health response that was taken by the government, and having an economics perspective, because we're asking some very fundamental questions. When the government made their response, did they get it right? What was the advice that they were receiving? Did they discard it or did they take it on board? How did they weigh that up versus other things that were happening, like education and health and business activity? And did they weigh those up correctly? Having those sorts of skill sets at the table, able to delve into the evidence, I think is very important. But having had conversations with all three, I'm convinced that they are neutral, and that they come to the table very open-minded, looking at the facts and wanting to find out what is the truth.
The inquiry must not duplicate or repeat work already undertaken. I think we know that in any other investigation, report or review. Many people did not have faith in phase one and therefore declined to engage. There will be stories not heard as a result through the previous submissions process. What do you say to that?
Yeah, well, what we've heard, and this is why ACT, you know, campaigned on expanding the terms of reference and why we're now delivering on it, is that members of the public didn't feel that phase one of the inquiry went far enough or answered questions that they felt needed to be answered. So what we have here is what ACT campaigned on because we listened to New Zealanders. So we have gone away, worked for months on end to expand the terms of reference based on public submissions. We had 13,000 people, possibly many people who listen to your station, tune in and say to the commissioners, this is what we wish for you to look at. So we've expanded it to looking into vaccine mandates, looking into the safety and harm of the COVID-19 vaccines, looking into the effects of the lockdowns, and in particular, the extended lockdowns in Auckland and Northland, and also looking into the procurement of contact tracing and testing activities, and whether or not private businesses were involved enough, but importantly, looking at whether or not the decisions that were made by the government actually led to social isolation and social division, and whether or not they struck that right balance between other things that were happening in our country, like the economic effects, inflation, education, other forms of healthcare. That's what we heard very loud and clear through the public submission process and why we've amended these terms of reference. But from here, what will happen is that these commissioners are independent, but they'll be going out to seek their own evidence and advice. And I'm sure there'll be another submission process that people can be part of. But it's very loud and clear that people did not have faith in the original terms of reference because they didn't go into depth on areas that were outstanding. And we're now addressing that.
Yeah, but there are still exclusions in terms of reference, particular clinical decisions, vaccine approvals, COVID-19 epidemiology, the judgments of courts and tribunals, the operation of private, I don't want to go through the whole list, but I'm going to, operation of private sector businesses, RBNZ monetary policy, also lockdowns, key decisions can't be considered prior to February 2021. How then can lockdowns be reasonably assessed if the first year of them are excluded from being dealt with under the terms of reference? Only key decisions, I think, between February 21 and October 2022. Why was that period excluded?
Yeah, we're focused in on 2021 and 2022 because that was the bulk of the submissions that came through. Were concerns to do with the latter end of the government's response? Yes. At first, we had, you know, the border lockdowns, we had MIQ established. But once information started to change and we started to go away from an elimination and close off the border strategy to living with COVID in the community and the government changing its response, that's where we were picking up there was most concern, you know, as the government's information changed. And did we get that response right? In particular, I think there'll be members listening in who'll probably be interested in things like, you know, as information changed, why did the government keep hold of vaccine mandates for potentially much longer than was necessary in terms of what the government was hoping to achieve? You know, did people, were they forced into their homes for much longer than was necessary under the lockdowns in regard to what the government was receiving as information at the time? Now, this is not a question on my mind of whether or not I think the mandates should have existed or whether or not I think the lockdowns should have existed. It's important for these commissioners to go away and look at the information that the government had received for us to have a better understanding of why did we have the mandates and why did we have those lockdowns and at which points would that have impinged on people's rights in different responses? So they're looking at that evidence in a much greater detail that I can do and that you can do and that many of your listeners can do, but it's important to give them the independence to do it.
I want to ask you about social cohesion. Does the government accept that the authoritarian and managerial, I think that was the word used, approach taken to the pandemic damaged our social cohesion, do you think?
I think it did. I think what we have in reality is a much more divided society than when we first had COVID enter our shores. But for me, I want to look into those details of what was the government's response? Why did they do it? And which particular actions led to a lack of social cohesion? So that if something happens in the future, we don't go down this route again. You know, we were responding to situations in the past. I don't want to see that happen in the future. I think we can be a much more united society. You know, if you take the issue of vaccine mandates, once again, you know, I personally know many people who were very upset that they couldn't attend their own family members' funerals. That, of course, led to social division, not just in our community, but in individual families. And that will have ramification for years for people. So let's not have policy that isn't delved into the detail so we can get it better for the future.
Couple more questions. Misinformation. That was a word bandied around a lot by the previous government. Does your government accept that it was a bad decision for that government to characterise dissent from their pandemic management as mis or disinformation? Was it, here's another one, was it really wise to call it a podium of truth? Kind of Orwellian, right?
Look, I'm not going to get too much into the detail about what the government believes.
You wouldn't have said that, though, I take it. You wouldn't have said with the podium of truth, would you have?
No, but what we have is the commissioners here trying to seek out what was the actual truth. And I think that's important. What we're doing here with this commission is not saying that this government or the previous government knows what the truth is. We're asking these commissioners to go away, look at the evidence, be independent, be neutral, find out what that truth is for us and come up with recommendations for how we could do it better into the future. That's the beauty of this independent inquiry. And we do need to give them the space to look at the evidence and come up with those options.
All right. And one of the key questions for me personally is around the various infringements on people's basic rights. I think they were infringed and they occurred in the name of pandemic management. Will the inquiry look at any of that? Is there anything we can do better to protect people's rights in future? For example, entrenching the Bill of Rights. Will there be any accountability if people's rights are found to be violated? There would have to be, wouldn't there?
No, what I think is really important to make very clear to anybody listening is that this inquiry is about planning for the future. It's not a court of law. And there is a big distinction there. It's not about finding guilty parties or innocent parties. It's about finding out what is the truth so that any future government can prepare for a pandemic and have a better response and outcome than the one that we've received. That's kind of where I end up with it. But what I would ensure probably will provide better help for anyone listening is that with the three commissioners that we have, they have a huge level of expertise, which I think will give assurance. You know, Grant Illingworth KC not only has been at every level of the court system, but he also is a public and constitutional law expert. So I would expect that he's coming from that view when being part of this commission anyway.
A few of our listeners, just to finish off, will be thinking, yeah, that's all very well, but I know people who have been harmed or are dead now. How do I cope with that? Who's going to be held accountable? You know, it's hard to get past that, Brooke.
Yeah, and for anyone in that position, you know, my heart does go out to you. You know, anybody who loses a loved one in any circumstance, it is very difficult.
And decisions by government ministers, though. From those decisions, what I'm kind of referring to.
And we can't go into individual cases. What is really important here, though, is we can look at the overall system and the overall government response and say whether or not it was adequate. One thing that is in scope, which was out of scope on phase one, was that this commission will look into vaccine harm and vaccine safety.
Yep.
And we can actually get to the truth of the matter of what was actually happening a few years ago now. But like I say, my heart goes out to anybody who is still struggling, you know, with a death or injury of any loved one in any circumstance. It's always difficult if you're looking after somebody who has been hurt. And so my thoughts are with you.
All right. Brooke Van Velden, Minister for Internal Affairs, ACT Deputy Leader, thank you so much for coming on RCR and explaining that.
Thank you.
And let's see what happens. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.